And my question was, why, God? Why? How many of us have had that question of why? And so this sermon is called The Why Syndrome.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Lord, we thank you so much for the testimonies that we've heard already with your word going forth. I know according to your word that your word will go forth and it will accomplish what you sent it to do, and it will prosper in that. So Lord, right now I'm thanking you that your word that we're about to get into would prosper and would minister to us, God, and to each one that will hear this word today. And Father, would you use me to bring that word and bring it with clarity and bring it with a Holy Spirit anointing on that, Lord. And we will give you praise in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Amen. Recently, my wife, Laura, and I, we watched a movie here a couple of nights ago about a six-year-old little boy that developed cancer. And it was one of those stories that through extensive treatments that the six-year-old went through, at the end of the story of that six-year-old, he passed away. Now, during that entire time, his mother was believing God for a miracle to take place. Something to happen, especially as in the other parts of the movie, there were other people that were experiencing miracles that had taken place in their lives. And so surely the mother said, God will do this for my son. How many of us have ever been to that place where we are trusting God, I mean trusting God, our hearts are there, we're expecting a miracle, but yet that miracle doesn't happen as far as we're concerned. Anybody in this house? Several of them. I mean, almost all of us could raise our hands in that. And so really the lingering question is, why? Why, God? And I can testify to this because several years back, and some of you may remember Tom and Mary Riley, who are a part of our congregation here for many, many, many years. And Tom developed cancer. And I'm telling you, Tom had just, he came to faith really in a way here at Living Water and began to grow in his faith. And I was excited to see that and excited to see what God was doing. And I'm telling you, when he got that cancer, I can remember a time that he came into my office and he was bawling like a baby. And he said, I don't want to die. And I said, you know what, Tom? I am going to be with you there through this entire thing. We know that God is a God that heals. And I began to pray and I had the church praying and I held on to that, held on to that, held on to that. Even up to the very end when I was in their home and Tom was on hospice and they were giving him morphine for the pain, and I was still saying, God, I expect a healing here because that's your word. And I was holding and believing. And I never forget, there at his bedside as I was again praying, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me very clearly, and he said, let him go. I want to bring him home. And my question was, why, God? Why? How many of us have had that question of why? Come on, if we're honest, in that flesh nature that we have, that's always the lingering question. And so this sermon is called The Why Syndrome. But I want us to understand that we're not the only ones that are in that company. if we have had that why, how many of us sometimes we have that why and we don't understand and we question God and the enemy comes in and the enemy says, see, what kind of a believer are you that you're questioning? And you have a why on your mind. Well, I want to read through some scriptures here and I want to talk about some others that we're in company with, but the very first portion that I want to go to is over in the book of John. Would you turn with me to John chapter 21? John's Gospel, chapter 21. Now you recall the story. This is where Jesus now appears to his disciples again there after he had resurrected. But then Jesus disappeared for a little bit and Peter said, I go a fishing. I'm not going to wait around. I'm going fishing. But then they see Jesus on the shore and this whole dialogue takes place of Jesus asking Peter if he loves him. And then at the end of it, he says, feed my sheep. And we pick this up in verse 18 now. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, Peter, speaking to Peter, when you were young, you girded yourself. You walked where you would have on your own. But when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you would not go. This he spoke, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. So I need you to understand, what did Jesus tell Peter? He said, Peter, I want you to know something. As a young man, you did whatever you wanted to do when you wanted to do it, and you basically bullied yourself around. You took care of business. Any take care of business people in here? Come on now, raise your hand. Thank you, Connie, right? Take care of business. We want to get the job done. But Jesus told Peter, as you get older, things are going to happen. People will take control of you because of your preaching the gospel. And he signified of what death Peter would encounter, meaning a death that would be similar to what Christ did on the cross, except upside down. Now, how many of you... how many of you would like to know the future? We always want to know, God, what's in the future? What's in the future? Well, Jesus told Peter what was in his future. How many of you think Peter stood up and said, glory, hallelujah? Right? Sometimes, and most times, it's better for us not to know. So Peter listens to this. He says, okay. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and he said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? What's going to happen to him? You just told me what's going to happen to me. Things are going to be rough. What's going to happen to him? And Jesus said, if I will that he tarried until I come, what is that to you, Peter? Follow thou me. What do you think's going on in Peter's mind right now? He was just rebuked of the Lord. And again, how many of us, we always want to look around at what others are experiencing and say, well, what about me? Why don't I get that same thing? It's that why syndrome. And I want you to understand that Jesus is calling each one of us to serve him, to follow him, no matter what is going on in our lives. Each life is different. Each calling is different. Each one of us has a different journey to follow and to walk on. And this is what he was telling Peter. It doesn't matter what this one is going through. See, sometimes when things are happening in our lives and there are tragedies that are happening and there are trials and there are things that are happening, one of the things we always like to do is look to our left and our right and say, well, why isn't it happening with them? I think when it comes down to it, Jesus said, follow me. Any man that puts his hand to the plow or begins to follow Christ, and then because of whatever other reasons, well, this is happening to me, this is happening to me, I'm having trials, I'm having tragedy, I'm having sickness in my body, they turn away from following the Lord. And the Lord is saying to us today, follow me. Again, I mentioned that we're not the only ones in this company that have that why that comes up. How about Moses? When we look at Moses, the Lord said, I want you to go to Pharaoh. Say, let my people go. And what did he say? Not me. I can't do it. I can't do it. Why me? How many of you remember that song? Why me, Lord? What have I ever done? Right? Well, a lot of times, people, instead of whining, they're whining. Right? We could call this the whining syndrome as well. Why do I have to go through this? When the words are, follow me. Follow me. What about Gideon? You remember him? Why me, Lord? Why do I have to be the one that does it? I'm weak. I can't do this. And the call was, follow me. How about David? And I'll have this one, Psalm 10:1. We'll throw that one up on the screen for us. David says, why standeth thou far off, Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? We're talking King David. A man after God's own heart, asking the question why. And then, of course, Jesus. What did Jesus say? My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, it's interesting here that Jesus understands our humanity, does he not? As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 4, if you'll jump over there with me, we're given throughout the Word of God, we're given God's heart and the heart of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find help in times of need. Jesus understands. And he understands our humility. Even Jesus on the cross said, Father, why have you forsaken me? But here's the point. Jesus did not enter into sin, although he understood our humanity. And he understands how we feel. And I find it quite interesting, right after that verse 15, 16 says, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Here's the thing. When we are going through the trials, when we are going through the things in our lives that we do not understand, what Jesus did, though he said, Father, I don't understand this, why? Earlier, he says, not my will, but your will be done. And you see, this is the place where we come boldly to the throne of grace. There are things happening in our lives. Dee just explained, you know, this has been many, many years that this has been going on with Marty. It's a journey that Dee and Marty are on and this family. And God is simply saying again, come boldly to the throne of grace. Follow me. Follow me. Because we really have two choices when things are happening in our lives, do we not? We can either follow Him or we can go the opposite direction when things begin to happen in our lives. Listen, many of us, and something was rolling through my mind earlier, some people think that, well, others they live on Easy Street. We think of that musical, right, Annie? Easy Street, right? But Easy Street isn't always the best place to live, folks. Because many times those that are on Easy Street think their own wealth and their own things that they have created is what's going to help them through. But Jesus said, I want you to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you the rest. Because we're all walking through different trials. We're all walking through different things. And I will guarantee you this, folks. One of the things that I did not quite understand was pain. Because in my life, up until the age of 58, I had not experienced pain. Never been in the hospital. Never had anything go wrong with me. But at 58 years old, to be told by a doctor, Mr. Fiscus, you need to have open heart surgery. And immediately this message really, and I'm preaching this out of my own heart, because the first things that come are what? Why? Why? Why, God? I have been preaching your word for 40 years. I've been in the ministry. I've been trying to serve you, God. Why? But listen, you know what? God never answered that why that I had. And He never will, because it's all about follow me. And many times, as I began to ask around, and there were some folks that said, oh, I've had that surgery. It's nothing. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Let me tell you, folks, and I know a lot of people that have still, after I've had the surgery, have been fine, and they haven't experienced the pain. They didn't experience the things that I did. But guess what? The doctors told me you are one out of 2,500 that are experiencing the issues that you have experienced. And I'm thinking at the time, what? Is that a blessing or what? And so many of you know that that very first year was very, very difficult for me and very much painful. And I still experience pain on a regular basis from that. But I'm telling you this, God has taught me so many things through that. So many things through this, what I'm preaching today, that we must come boldly before the throne of grace with what we are going through. It may be physical, it may be emotional, it may be something that is happening to you. And we read the scripture, and you know, in churches so many things are cliche. We read some scriptures say, count it all joy when you fall into different trials and various temptations. For we know this, that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. And when patience has run its full course, it'll make you fully grown in Him. And we like to say those kinds of things until it comes to us experiencing it. And I would love to be able to tell you that your pastor just went through it with grace and mercy, you know, and everything, and just never complained about a thing and said, thank you, Lord, for the pain that I'm enduring. I would love to be able to tell you that, but that is not the truth. Because I had lots of whys. I had lots of things that were going on in my mind is the pain. You know what? The doctors, when they released me from the hospital, said, in 6 weeks, you're going to feel better. 6 weeks came and gone. 6 months came and gone. 10 months came and gone. A year came and gone. And the pain is still there. And the questions lingering in my mind would be what? Why? Why? But God said what? Follow me. Follow me. I want to tell us something here, folks. In times of severe testing, we must turn to the Father and come boldly. That's number one. And I'm not saying that it's easy, because it's not easy, especially when it's happening to you. When you have emotional pain, when you have lost someone that is dear and near to you. There is a pain that takes place when we have someone that we lose. And so oftentimes the enemy would have us to go on a rant and rave about God, why did you take them from me? Why did you let this happen? You could have stopped this, God. What are we told here, folks? Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, Matthew 11:28. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's number one here, folks. We have to come boldly. We have to come to Him instead of running the opposite direction. Number two, we must not blame God for the trial. And that's the natural thing to do, is it not? God, why did you do this? Why did you allow this? And then something begins to happen that the enemy would love to see take place within a believer. It's called bitterness. It's called a root of bitterness against God Himself for allowing this to happen. God, you could have stopped it. Well, we know a couple of things here. Number one, John 10:10, for the thief cometh, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that they might have life. It is not God's fault. And we need to stop blaming God. Because Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We draw near, see? We draw near. Don't blame God. And number three, as hard as it is during and after the trials, we must always remember to not dethrone the Lord. What do I mean by that? Don't dethrone the Lord. Proverbs 3:5-6. Most of us know that one by heart, do we not? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on in all your ways. And He will do what? He's going to direct your paths. In other words, God is sovereign. Don't dethrone God thinking you know better than God. Because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We have all these promises and God is still sovereign, folks. If anyone had something to complain about, it would have been Job, would it not have? Lost it all. His family, all of his things, his home. God did spare his wife, though. But then, on her behalf, she had lost all of her children in one day. And the hurt that was going on in her heart, she comes to her husband and says, why would God do this? Right? She's hurting. Curse God and die. Let's just get it over with. That's the heart of a mother, folks. She's hurting. But I want you to know that she comes back at the end, and she's with him, and they build together again. See, God has a plan and a purpose, but if anybody had the opportunity to be angry and blame God, it would have been Job. Matter of fact, Job did say, God, why are you allowing this to happen? But I want to bring it to a close here. Job chapter 38. And again, this is one of my favorites because this is what the Lord also brought back to me when I began my whining syndrome after all of my pain and my whining and my complaining and my whying and whining. And I thank God for a wonderful wife. She put up with me for all that time. And the Lord began to work, and the Lord brought this again back to me. Verse 1, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, and he said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? He was talking about Job. Job, who do you think you are? You're speaking words. You're saying, why, as if you have the answers to everything and that I should not have acted in a certain way. Gird up your loins now like a man, because I will demand of you, and I need you to answer me. Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have an understanding of the foundations of the earth, Job. What's Job doing? Who laid the measurements thereof, Job? Where are the foundations stretched on? Who laid the cornerstone of the earth? Patty, do you have all those answers? Job didn't have them. John, you surely do. Larry? How many of us know how it works? Tucker, for sure you do, right? Tucker said, one day I will when I get to be with the Lord. We don't understand, do we? And these are the questions that God asks us. When we begin to think that we know better than God, we're dethroning Him. And I had to repent of that, folks. Because when we have severe things that are going on, that's where our flesh man wants to come to. And God says, I am sovereign. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. We don't need to understand. We don't need to know the whys. We don't need to be in that why syndrome. Because here's what happens, folks. During our pain and our struggles, we have a choice. We either blame God, we run from Him, or we run to Him. That's the choice. Now, why is the Lord bringing this sermon today? I don't know exactly why. But I know that each of us have our own roads to travel. And there may be things that will happen in our futures where we will experience these things. And God is wanting to plant into our hearts right now, choose this day who you will serve. Will you run to Him? Will you come boldly to Him, or will you run away from Him? James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you, right? Submit yourself to God. Purify your hearts. Cleanse your hands. Draw near to Me. In the times of trouble, draw near to God. Because here's the thing. When we choose to run the other way, we are giving up the very thing that will help us to overcome the trials. Our faith in Christ. Our faith in God. So if we run from God, what do we get? Bitterness, anger, resentment, disappointment. But if we run to God, we get hope. We get healing. And we get God's love, folks. I'm not saying this is easy. the things that we go through. There are many of us in our congregation, Marty, Ashley and Rhonda, Donna Marie, and the things that we have gone through and many are going through as our congregation. But here's one thing God wants to say. Draw near to me. When you're hurting, draw near, because that's where the hope's at. That's where you're going to get what you need. I want us to hear loud and clearly that God says, follow me. Follow me. Because we don't know what life is going to give us. But one thing that we do know, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And that will carry us through. Amen. Amen. This morning, how many of us will answer the call to follow him? And again, it's easy to say when we're not experiencing the trials, when we're not experiencing the pain, when we're not experiencing the things that go on. And so many times, when others are going through that in our congregation or our brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes we have the attitude of, well, just get over it. Just deal with it. Just turn to God. But we need to walk with them, understanding the pain that is going on, and to encourage and stand by them to lift up their hands. It's so important that we do that. Pray together with me. Father, thank you for the word that you have given to us today. Thank you for your enduring promises, God. And I thank you that we can turn to you. Father, I personally want to thank you for carrying me through and teaching me so many things. And Lord, I just pray that this word would change us to our very heart and our very core, and to trust you and follow you and get out of the why me, Lord, and to trust you that you have us in the palm of your hand. We'll bless you and thank you. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.